Paul says here that he is debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And he says, as a result of that, as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. The Apostle Paul had received the gospel, the good news of salvation, given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he felt an obligation, a debt, that that gospel, the good news of salvation, need to be delivered to all people, to the Jew and the Greek, wise and unwise. And so he says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And goes ahead saying, I'm not ashamed of that gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Sometimes we come across people in this world who feel that they do not owe anything, but rather that the world owes them something, and are expecting something. If they do not get something, do not get that which they expect, they feel that the world has let them down. But all of us have a great debt, just like the Apostle Paul. Paul especially here felt this debt. The gospel that had been committed to his trust, and he wrote to Timothy about that gospel also committed to their trust. And he wrote to the Corinthians and spoke of having this treasure, which was the gospel, in earthen vessels. That gospel being given to us then places a debt upon us to deliver that gospel message to all others. But Paul was one who had persecuted the church. We first come into contact with him whenever the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death were laid at his feet in Acts, the 7th chapter. We read of his persecution of the church in Acts, the 8th chapter. And read then finally of his conversion in Acts, the 9th chapter. But the man called Saul, as he was called at that time, was a very fervent man, dedicated, very fervent in what he believed. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. He says there that I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundantly with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Notice Paul hears, you can see that he felt this debt to Jesus Christ, who had counted him faithful. Though he was, as he speaks of himself, as the chief of sinners, though he persecuted, though he was a blasphemer, an insolent man, this word carries the idea of being violently arrogant in his lifestyle. Lord's grace, he says, was exceedingly abundant to him. There in verse number 14, the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant. Paul committed, I guess you might say or think of it, as just about the worst type of crimes or sins that anyone could commit. Though he was very fervent and dedicated to God, very conscientious in all that he did, we find him yet putting people to death in the name of his God. Notice how he speaks of himself in Acts chapter 26. In verses 9 through 11 there, he says that, indeed I myself thought that I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I also did in Jerusalem, And many of the saints I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. And he says in 23:1 that he had lived in all good conscience before God. He did this in all good conscience, very conscientious. But he was wrong. He was fighting against God. When Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus, Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the prick." Saul was a man who was trying to please God. Yet he was as evil could be. He had committed the worst of sins or crimes in the name of God. And so he says, God's mercy was exceedingly abundant toward me. And in 1 Timothy 1, verse number 16, he says, "For this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him to everlasting life." His conversion and the mercy shown to him, even though the evil was extremely bad that he had committed, serves as an example to all who will believe. He's a pattern of forgiveness, an example of how merciful and long-suffering God can be toward us. Paul, realizing all of this, says, "What a debt I owe. How sinful, how evil that he had been, the chief of sinners. And yet he had obtained mercy. He had obtained forgiveness." And so Paul says, "I've received a tremendous debt." That same gospel can provide salvation for all mankind. He says, "I'm debtor both to the Greek and the barbarian, both to the wise and unwise." And so he says, "As much as in me is, I'm going to try to pay that debt. And I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also." Paul, again, felt this great responsibility that he felt. It's brought out in some words in Acts chapter 20 that he spoke to the elders of the church at Ephesus when he is returning from his third missionary journey and knows that when he gets to Jerusalem, he's going to be imprisoned. And he says, "Bonds and afflictions await me." Acts 20, verse 22, he says, "I go bound in the spirit to Jerusalem. I haven't left myself any choice," he says. I'm bound and determined to carry through with the Lord's work. And he says, "But don't know what things await me there, what's going to happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that change and tribulation await me." But then he says, "None of these things move me. Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." He received a ministry. He received the forgiveness of his sins. He received the gospel message. So he says, "I'm going to finish that, and I'm going to finish it with joy." So none of these things, the bonds, afflictions, the chains, whatever awaits me, I'm going to carry through with doing the will of the Lord. He says, "I don't count my life dear unto myself." Think about Paul. Before he was converted, he had really messed up his life, hadn't he? He had made the wrong decisions. He had ended up completely on the wrong side. God was on the other side. So he really messed it up. So it seems to me, Paul is saying, "Well, I've turned my life over to the Lord. Now I can't take care of it. I can't do what's right. I've turned it over to him. I don't count it dear to myself. It doesn't belong to me anymore." How true is that of many of us? We've tried to live by our own knowledge and our own understanding and our own efforts. And much of the time in our own wisdom, we mess up. If we'd only give up and turn our lives over to the Lord Jesus Christ and follow the directions given here and trust Him, life would bring much more peace and happiness and joy as it did to the Apostle Paul after he learned that great truth. Now Paul saw that he had a great debt. And so he says, I'm under that obligation to preach the gospel to all. But you know, as one thinks about this, and of course we know the Apostle Paul, according to tradition, according to things indicated in what we think is his last letter in 2 Timothy, that he died as a prisoner in Rome, paying that debt. Even in Rome as a prisoner, he preached the gospel to those that he came into contact with from his prison cell or his own hired house, as it's spoken of in the book of Acts. But if Paul was a debtor, how much more do you and I owe? How great is our debt? To whom do we have an obligation, a spiritual obligation? Oh, certainly we have a debt to God, but there are many others as well. Do we not have a great debt to our parents? Do we not owe a lot? You know, sometimes it might be good for us to sit down and think, how much do we owe? How much have we been given? Maybe we ought to start with our parents because we owe them our very life, don't we? Because of their love and their love for us, we are where we are today. To that mother, we recognize that she went through a great deal of pain in childbirth, carrying us for 9 months, bringing us into the world. We owe them for sleepless nights that they have spent. Maybe on some nights they wondered if we were going to make it through the night because of sickness or high temperature. Maybe it was nights that they set up, or at least one of them set up with us, nursing and feeding us. But they, because of their love, saw us through. Sometimes children do not stop to think what their parents have gone through for them, or what sacrifice their parents have made for them. You know, we might think about all that the parent could have done with the money if they hadn't had to spend that money on me. I think about what my parents, I know that they went without in order to give money to Mark Legg to meet his needs. And that was whether he was a child at home, and sometimes even after he left home, even in college age and married, sacrifices that they made in order that I might live and have the things that I needed, whether it was clothes or food or medicine, housing. They sacrificed to provide those things. Sometimes parents have had the build a bigger house or to buy a bigger house or add on rooms to their present structure because of children in the home. They sacrificed because they love their children. They provided us with discipline, instruction, the morals that we have, our values and the culture. We owe a great deal to our parents. We could even expand beyond that into society and our country. We owe a great deal there. Because of the nation in which we live, we can enjoy the life that we have. I think about those people who first came to this country. We owe a debt to them. To those who framed the Constitution, to the other forefathers who built this nation and have secured the freedoms, the privileges and opportunities that we have in this nation. Well, they were not perfect. These things are not perfect in this nation now. And they're eroding and deteriorating. But yet we owe a great debt to men who have given their lives to secure these things, to men who have given their lives, and maybe in times of war, for the freedom and the way of life that we enjoy. To our nation, we have been given the opportunity to develop and to achieve, to raise our families, to serve God, freedom to worship and to serve and honor Him. We could go on and on, but we owe a great debt there. Even beyond that, we look to our whole world. We might think, well, how in the world do we owe a debt to all of our world? But you know, all of our world contributes to each and every one of us. We're not just citizens of El Reno or citizens of Oklahoma or even citizens of the U.S. We're citizens of the whole world. And that world, the factors and the people within that world affects each one of us. There's the Allied nations as an example who have fought side by side with us to secure the freedoms and the way of life which we all enjoy now. Even countries like Germany and Russia have all helped contribute to the strength and development of this nation. Maybe they were the enemy that caused us to be stronger, to overcome handicaps and difficulties, but they all contributed from one point of view or another. Beyond that, we owe a great debt, of course, to our families also. Our mates, husbands or wives, and to our children for the love, the companionship, the support that they give to each and every one of us. You can expand upon each one of these thoughts, couldn't you? Then, of course, to the church. How great is the debt that each one of us owes to the church? To those early apostles who gave their lives that the gospel might be established. To those early Christians there who stood firm in spite of persecution and rejection in the days of the Roman Empire when they were maybe burned at the stake or thrown to the lions. But the church stood and the Roman Empire fell. We owe a great deal to those early church fathers. To those that are scholars and students of the word that have passed from this world but have helped to give us all insight and understanding of God's word. To the early restoration leaders, we owe a great debt. That when the religious world had become corrupt and divided and divisive, far from God, they called for a restoration to point us back to that New Testament church and the restoration of New Testament principles and the new covenant to be practiced today. Well, again, you could go on and on. How can we pay that debt? How can we say thanks? How can we show our appreciation to all of those people, the Lord's body? And of course, above all of these things are possible. Family, parents, nation, world, all because of our Heavenly Father who upholds all things by the power of His Word, who has provided us the means of our salvation. As we talked about this morning, when we were weak and helpless, ungodly, enemies, sinners, Christ died for us. And Paul said to Timothy in reference to God who has saved us, called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before time began. How thankful we ought to be to God, because He loved us so much that even before the world began, He made provisions for our salvation. God's book, the Bible, is simply a record of God pursuing man. From before the time of the world, before the time of the creation, it is a record of how God has wooed man, if you want to think of it that way, pursued man, sought man, trying to turn man back to him, because in love he wanted man saved. And it's a record of God's love toward mankind and his efforts to try to lead us to him, that we might seek him. You know, God's seeking us, but he wants us to seek him. We didn't deserve it. Not worthy of it in any way. How great is that debt that we owe to him? What do we have that we do not owe for? All we have physically and spiritually, God has provided, hasn't he? All. By our own efforts, we can't grow the food that we eat. By our own efforts, we can't grow or bring into existence the fibers that make our clothing. We can't grow and provide the substance from which this building and our homes are, of which they are made. It's all given to us by God. Paul asked the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 4, and verse number 7, what do you have that hasn't been given to you? Of course, the answer is nothing. Everything that we have been given to us by God. What a debt that we owe. We too need to confess with the Apostle Paul here that his grace has been abundantly bestowed upon us. And that we are debtors, both to the Greek and barbarian and the Greek, both to the wise and the unwise. That's great mercy and salvation, and the gospel that's been given unto us needs to be passed on. The only way we can pay that debt. So we need to determine that so much as in me is, I'm going to pay that debt also. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to be an example to those about me. I'm going to deliver that gospel message to all about me. And as a congregation, you know, we need to recognize the debt that we owe. We need to be thankful and recognize the contribution that's made to members of this congregation. Where would we be without the contribution of different members of this congregation? Oh yes, sometimes members of the congregation let us down. Maybe sometimes Christians do not set the proper example. But where would we be without those positive qualities to strengthen us? And you know, where would we be without God's Word and the study of His Word? The opening of this book and looking at it. You know, we talk about our memory verses. I don't think we begin to appreciate God's Word and the power that it has, or the blessing that it gives to each and every one of us. Yet sometimes we take it so lightly and do not think seriously about this great gift that's been given to us. Luke chapter 7 is a passage I'd like to use in closing. But it finds Jesus being invited to the house of Simon the Pharisee. And while Jesus is there, this woman of the street comes in. And of course, Simon begins to think, well, now if this man was really a prophet of God, he wouldn't let this unclean woman touch him, because she was washing his feet with her tears, wiping it with, drying her feet with his, with her hair, and broke this sweet-smelling, fragrant oil ointment and washed his feet, bathed his feet in it, kissing his feet. And Simon thought that this woman was unclean. Jesus was a prophet, this woman wouldn't have touched him. But Jesus said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to pay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more? The Apostle Paul saw that he was a great debtor. He had been forgiven much. Simon answered and said, I suppose the one he forgave more. And he said, you have rightly judged. And then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. If we feel that we have not been given much, we're going to feel a little debt, aren't we? This woman felt she held a great debt because she had been forgiven much. And she sought to express that debt, to pay that debt, to express the love, the faith that she had for the one who had given her and forgiven her of so much. How much has the Lord forgiven each of us? How great is the debt that we owe? I dare say that none of us can really appreciate how much that we do owe. We can't fathom it. We can't understand it. Maybe our emotions can't run that deep. But we owe it all, don't we? There's nothing that we have that's not been given to us by God. So all that we have and all that we will ever hope to have been given to us by him, yea, life itself. How great is your debt? Are you seeking to pay that debt? If you're not a Christian this night, won't you look at the debt that you owe? And won't you respond in faith and love to that God who loves you so much? Will you not give your life to Jesus as he gave his life for you that you might live? Will you not come while we stand now, while we sing?